live from the international headquarters of the Christian Research Institute. Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Your host is CRI President Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because truth matters.
Western civilization is built on the back of Western Christianity, and Western Christianity is built on the basis of the Bible. Everything from science to education to jurisprudence comes from the Word of God. And when you take the Word of God away, the tree can continue to manifest leaves for a little while. But if you take the Bible away, the tree is dead.
That's a short sample of Hank's moving message, Truth Under Siege, recorded earlier this year in Los Angeles, California, and available to you today on audio CD. To find out how to order this equipping resource, stay tuned. If you'd like to ask Hank a question about truth under siege, discernment, the Bible, or reasons for the historic Christian faith, then call us right now at 888-ASK-HANK. That translates to 888-275-4265. And now here's the host of the Bible Answer Man, CRI President Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Again, the number to dial to get your question on air today, your question in any category, 888-ASK-HANK. That translates to 888-275-4265. In just a few moments, we'll be taking your calls. Before we do that, let me mention the audio version of Truth Under Siege available right now to those who support the ministry of the Christian Research Institute. And your support has never been more valuable, more relevant, more needed than right now. Let me give you an example of why I say that. Here's a testimony from Paula. She's writing from Missouri. She suffers chronic pain, and she's alone and sad. And then she writes this: one day, when I was particularly desperate, my hand scanned the radio, and lo and behold, it stopped on KSIV, the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Hank's ministry has changed my life. I'm now full of joy in my closeness to my Savior. I've never missed a show since, and your guests like Johnny Erickson-Tada, Lee Strobel, Max McLean, the list is just endless. You, Hank, and these wonderful guests have completely changed my life. Through your ministry, I have returned to Christ, and my life is full of joy. May God bless you and your family. Hank, you are a true hero of the faith. Now, let me tell you who the real heroes of the faith are. They're the people that stand with this ministry prayerfully and financially. I talked to a man this week who pledged to give $100,000 to this ministry. That's a number that's hard for most of us to relate to. But he believes in this ministry, has seen the abundant, abiding fruit of a ministry for not just a year or 2 years or 5 years or a decade, but a ministry that has borne abundant, abiding fruit for half a century. And the people that stand with this ministry make that harvesting of fruit a reality. I met with several couples in Colorado that support this ministry. They can give $1,000 a month. And that's significant. But I fear sometimes when we communicate the reality that this ministry literally takes millions of dollars to run. In other words, without any hyperbole, we are spending millions of dollars each and every year to broadcast this ministry around the world. And when you communicate numbers like that, they're staggering. One gift of $100,000 is staggering, but here's the reality. And this is what I want to get to. A letter from a lady named Valerie. She says, yesterday's segment where you spoke to the man who was contemplating suicide made me realize how vital your broadcast is to radio listeners in our country. I have felt convicted to help you financially for several weeks, but I didn't because my gift was too small. I'm not going to let that be a stumbling block today because I recognize the importance this ministry has had for so many confused and hurting people. My husband and I are in seminary, and we will continue to support the work that you do as often as we can. Now, here's a lady that's writing, and I think in some way when she hears the numbers, thinks, if one person can give $100,000, how can my gift of $10 or $15 make a difference? Well, the reality is that this ministry is supported by and large by many small gifts. The large gifts are a blessing from God from on high, an answer to prayer, and very necessary. But the bedrock, the basis of this ministry, is many people giving sacrificially so that this ministry can harvest abundant, abiding fruit. I've mentioned this recently, but I have been traveling this summer. I've spoken in the last 2 or 3 weeks, maybe 12 or 15 times. And everywhere I go, those of you who have come to speaking engagements know this firsthand, I autograph books and I listen to testimonies. And sometimes I do it for 3 hours after I'm done speaking. I never leave until the last person has been attended to. I care about every single person that comes. But I hear testimonies over and over and over again of changed lives. And it is those changed lives that keep me in the battle. I'm speaking from my heart now. What I do is not politically correct. And there's a big price to pay for not being politically correct today. But I've often said, if I'm going to be politically correct, there's no need for me to do what I do. This isn't about being politically correct, telling people what they want to hear. It's about telling people what they need to hear. And this world, evangelical Christianity, needs a prophetic voice, the voice of a ministry that will tell it like it is. I realize the moment I tell people that deliverance ministries are a sham, I'm going to lose support because there are all kinds of evangelical deliverance ministries that are telling people, look, I will deliver you of your demon of lust or your demon of cancer or your demon of nicotine. And it all sounds so good, particularly when they say there is an attendant benefit. It's like the Ginzu knives, you know. The attendant benefit is that you're not morally culpable for lust. It's not really your problem. And when the demon comes out, your problem is no longer a reality. The problem has been solved. People like to hear that because we live in a fast food age of Christianity. We want fast food solutions to very difficult problems. So instead of exercising the disciplines, the spiritual disciplines that Jesus Christ demonstrated during his earthly sojourn, we look for the quick fix. But what did Tom Landry say? He was a Christian man. He's gone home to be with the Lord. He was the coach for the Dallas Cowboys. And Tom Landry said that a good football coach makes men do what they wouldn't ordinarily do in order that they may become what they were always intended to be. That's what good football coaches do. Well, what does Christ tell us by way of parallel? If you want to become Christ-like, you have to do the things that I modeled during my earthly sojourn. Jesus demonstrated a passion for the prophets. He demonstrated a passion for the Word of God. He knew the Word of God. Jesus Christ, and Dr. Luke underscores this, often withdrew to lonely places and prayed because he desired fellowship with his Heavenly Father. If you want to be Christ-like, you have to exercise spiritual disciplines. It's not about going to a deliverance minister and finding a fast food solution for your problem. It's not the way it works. If I want to be like Tiger Woods, and right now the British Open is playing, if I want to be like Tiger Woods, and I suppose even better, Tom Watson, he shot a 65 today and he's leading the tournament, at least the last time I saw, at 59 years of age. But if I want to be like Tiger Woods or Tom Watson, it's not enough to don a Nike swoosh or to mouth the Nike "just do it" mantra. If I want to be like them, I have to hit thousands of golf balls. I have to exercise my body. I have to commit myself to physical and mental disciplines. Well, I don't want to be like Tiger Woods. I want to be like Jesus Christ. And that means that I have to exercise spiritual disciplines. And there's a template for that in the Word of God. And the more you meditate on the Word of God, the more those disciplines become part of who you are. Well, I've lost some of you. I don't want a discipline. I want a quick fix. And I hear a cacophony of voices out there telling me that there are quick fixes. Let me tell you, as straight as I can, these are people that do not stand in the counsel of the Lord to see or to hear His word. They have not listened and heard His word. And that's why Jeremiah says in his context, in his day, see, the storm of the Lord will burst out in wrath, a whirlwind swirling down on the heads of the wicked. The anger of the Lord will not turn back until He fully accomplishes the purposes of His heart. In the days to come, says Jeremiah, you will see it clearly. Why? Because God says this, I did not send these prophets, yet they have run with their message. I didn't speak to them, yet they have prophesied. And Jeremiah's graphic, he says that they are telling one another lies. They steal from one another words supposedly from God. They wag their own tongues and yet declare the Lord declares. They prophesy their dreams, but they don't help the people in the least, declares the Lord, because they haven't stood in the counsel of the Lord to see or to hear His word. They haven't listened and heard His word, and I think we're in the same condition. We pay little heed to the word of God, and we are now paying the ultimate price. In the West, we have a civilization built on the DNA of Scripture, formed on the DNA of the Bible, and that foundation has been lost. And no foundation without a mooring can survive. All is not lost if we will heed the words of the Lord and not listen to the false prophets in our midst, but rather listen not to that which sounds good, but is good because the words come from Scripture. So again, we're not telling you what you want to hear, but it's important that you hear what we're telling you. One of the points I make in Truth Under Siege, which is available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute, as you support and stand with us in this call to biblical truth. We need your support. We need it now. If you can stand with me, write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or give in a safe, secure fashion on the World Wide Web at equip.org. On the other side of the break, we'll start taking your calls. You can give me a call at 888-ASK-HANK. That translates to 888-275-4265. We'll be right back with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Please don't touch that dial.
Order Truth Under Siege on audio CD by Hank Hanegraaff for your gift to CRI to help us equip you and the body of Christ for battle when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to www.equip.org. That's equip.org. If you'd like to ask Hank a question about Truth Under Siege, the Bible, Christian doctrine, or reasons for the historic Christian faith, then call us right now at 888-ASK-HANK, which translates to 888-275-4265. Did you know that you can hear the Bible Answer Man daily or the best of the Bible Answer Man every weekend on XM Satellite Radio Channel 170 or take in the broadcast online through our website at www.equip.org 24 hours a day? Further, you can also listen to past shows which are archived for your easy access. Hank returns with more of the broadcast right after this. Now, more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed on today's religious movements and scriptural insights needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Our cover story examines the idea of romantic love and ponders its role as the basis for marriage. When Mormon prophet Joseph Smith announced his discovery of the Book of Abraham in 1835, it was heralded as the most important find in biblical studies, older than the Old Testament, and provided the scriptural foundation for the Mormon doctrine of God. Find out why these claims are false. Our Effective Evangelism article provides 10 power-packed arguments for atheists to know that the universe is haunted. Practical Hermeneutics unpacks the question, how was Jesus made sin? And as always, don't miss the popular Ask Hank.
Call CRI and start your subscription today, 888-7000-CRI. You'll also see it online at equip.org.
Outside of the holy words of Jesus and the Holy Spirit-inspired writings of the Bible, the words of men such as Augustine, Martin Luther, and Jonathan Edwards have most stirred the Christian church throughout history.
I seek an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade.
Now, these timeless works have been captured on CD by master storyteller Max MacLean in a collection called Classics of the Christian Faith. This high-quality compilation contains five of the greatest works by five of the greatest leaders of church history. It will enhance your Christian walk and give you a new appreciation for our rich heritage.
My conscience is captive to the Word of God. Here I stand. I can do no other. God help.
Classics of the Christian Faith CD Collection, narrated by Max MacLean. To order, simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Find it on our website at equip.org.
Hank Hanegraaff has answered thousands of questions while hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Now, the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition offers concise and well-crafted answers to over 170 questions that stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the historic Christian faith. This beautiful leather hardbound edition contains all the questions and answers from the Bible Answer Book Volumes 1 and 2, plus all new answers to some of today's tenacious questions such as, does Mormonism really teach that Jesus is the spirit brother of Satan? And did Jesus make a crucial historical blunder in the Gospel of Mark? And that's not all. With each entry, Hank offers scripture references specifically related to the subject matter and recommends resources for further study to better equip you. Get your copy of this attractive 550-page leather hardbound book when you call 888-7000-CRI or order on our secure website at www.equip.org. That's equip.org.
And don't forget to ask about the personalized edition.
Thank you. Now, there are more ways than ever to support the ministries of the Christian Research Institute and Bible Answer Man broadcast. The Bible Answer Man support team has been updated and expanded, as well as the CRI fellowship programs and the CRI President's Council. These are all strategic ways you can contribute to the ongoing physical health of our ministry as we help you help us. CRI values your partnership through regular prayers and financial giving. For more details about how you can partner with us to keep truth alive, go to the World Wide Web at www.equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff reminds us that just as the great reformers and prophets of old were willing to give their utmost for God's highest, not only in the public square, but each and every moment of the day, we too, as followers of Christ, need to realize the paramount importance of redeeming each moment of our lives for the cause of our precious Redeemer. Be inspired by the heroes of the faith Hank Hanegraaff brings to life when you order Truth Under Siege in audio CD. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to our secure website at www.equip.org. That's equip.org. And now, here's the host of the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy, and we'll go right to our phone calls. In just a moment, I want to mention Truth Under Siege. It's a CD, a message I gave in Los Angeles, California. It's available for your gift to the ministry right now. Just ask for Truth Under Siege. It's the CD you're asking for. And we'll send it out to you for your gift to the ministry, and all that can participate would be deeply appreciated right now. Write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or you can order in a safe, secure fashion on the World Wide Web at equip.org. You can also speak with our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to the phone calls. Joe's up first. He's listening on KCCV in Kansas City, Kansas. Hi, Joe.
Hello, this is me. I have a question about 1 John 5:16, where it has a sentence in there, there is sin leading to death, and we just taught on this a couple of weeks ago in Sunday school, and the take that I got on it from a commentary I read said that it is comparable to the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit in Matthew 12 and Mark chapter 3. And they called it a bittered and hardened resistance to the truth of God, kind of a recalcitrance towards the truth.
Yeah, and I think that's essentially true.
Okay.
Yeah, the sin unto death is a sin unto death in the sense that those who refuse forgiveness through Christ will spend eternity separated from the love and grace of God. And that is the point. If you look at the sin unto death in light of the unforgivable or unpardonable sin, the point is that it's not an act, it's a continuous, willful, ongoing rejection. And of course, the sin unto death would be the sin unto death if you die in that state, continuously rejecting the one who offers you salvation and pardon. That's the sin unto death. Again, it's not an act, it's a continuous action.
Right. And verse 16 says, if anyone sees his brother sinning in this way, then we're talking about a Christian who has definitely taken the wrong turn, and so will he... You know, my question basically is he going to heaven if he...
No, I think that's a faulty assumption. I think you have to start with the presupposition that those who are really born again cannot fall from grace. And the reason I believe that, and I do believe that fervently, is that if indeed you are born again, you have received a foreign righteousness, a righteousness not of your own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. Which is to say, this is a righteousness that is not something that you conjure up. This is being clothed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And So Jesus Christ provides the justification, but he also provides the sanctification, which is to say the one who justifies you, which is a one-time act, also then continuously sanctifies you, which is an ongoing action. So he is the one that causes you to overcome. He is the overcomer who causes you to overcome by a sanctifying grace. He washes you, cleanses you from the inside. So I would say that there are people that have a said faith that could certainly fall into the category of having committed the sin unto death, the continuous, willful, ongoing rejection, but not someone who has a genuine saving faith.
I see. So, just one final question. What do you think Ananias and Sapphira, what became of them? I was kind of connecting the sin that leads to death with what happened to them.
Yeah, we can't say with absolute certainty. Because remember, we cannot stand as ultimate judges. We can only test fruit. So we can't say whether Ananias and Sapphira died in disbelief. We can say that they died because they committed a horrendous sin which was precedent-setting in the early Christian church. And therefore, they were judged. But remember, there is judgment for sin that doesn't necessarily connote ultimate judgment in terms of damnation. You think of David, who sent Uriah the Hittite to the battlefront with his own death summons in his tunic.
Right.
And yet, David, though he committed this horrendous sin, saw God's salvation and forgiveness. Now, the sin continued to be judged. The sword never left his home. But David himself was saved. We know that from Scripture. And we see his contrition in Psalm 51, as well as other psalms like Psalm 139. So David received forgiveness, but yet he was dealt the consequence of his sin, and perhaps that's true in the case of Ananias and Sapphira. I can't say in the ultimate sense. It could also be that they died in disbelief and had a said faith rather than a real faith because they purposed to deceive. But all of us, in one way or other, and this is guaranteed, will die in our sins. No matter how good you are, whether the Apostle Paul or some other saint, all of us are going to die in sin because, as Luther correctly said, we're snow-covered dung. And that is a graphic description of the fact that we're covered with the righteousness of Jesus Christ while ourselves we are not righteous.
Martin Luther said that?
Yeah.
I see.
Snow-covered dung. And it's a graphic description of the fact that while we are saved by Christ, we are yet sinners who are being sanctified by Christ as well. And one day we'll be glorified, which is to say, when we get to heaven, when Jesus Christ returns and puts all things to right, we're going to be glorified. And then we are going to be, in practicality, what we are now, just in position. There will be no more sin. Because as John saw on Revelation, nothing impure will enter the New Jerusalem, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life.
I see.
Fair enough?
Absolutely. Thank you very much.
Hey, appreciate your call.
Bet.
Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Ed next. He's listening in San Francisco, California on KFAX. Hi, Ed.
Hi, how you doing, Hank? Thanks for taking my call today. I appreciate it.
Pleasure.
Hey, I'm trying to sort something out. I've been, you know, reading the Bible for about 10 years and in and out of a few different religions, and right now I'm not in any. And I'm trying to look back at all the doctrines I've learned and start over. So I got a couple simple questions. I'm not trying to, you know, go one way or the other. Could you explain the Trinity to me as far as, Jesus and the Father being the same person, because I'm seeing these scriptures, like when he's baptized and the voice from heaven, you know, says that this is my son or my beloved. And then other times when they've asked Jesus, like the disciples, when the end times were going to be, and he said nobody knew the day or the hour, only the Father knew that because the Father was greater than him. So I'm having trouble seeing the difference between Jesus and the Father, you know, that they're either the same God or two separate. Could you explain any of that to me or enlighten me on that at all?
Yeah, I think I can. I'm glad you called, and let me commend you, because if you're starting over, you're starting over at the right place, because okay. It all revolves around the nature of God. And I've often said on this broadcast, virtually every single theological heresy begins with a misconception of the nature of God. So again, kudos, you're asking the right question. But the biblical concept or notion of Trinity, we say humbly, we can apprehend in Scripture, but we can't comprehend. Now, that's not a cop-out. It's not saying I'm going to call something a mystery that's a contradiction. It's simply saying if God is infinite and I'm finite, I cannot, as the finite person, ultimately understand the infinite God. So God has condescended to reveal himself to me in Scripture, which is beyond my comprehension, but yet is not contradictory. So the concept of the Trinity is this. Biblically, we are told that there's only one God. So polytheism is out. Definitively, in Old and New Testament, we're told there's only one God. But the Bible also tells us that the Father is God, the Son is God, and the Holy Spirit is God. And further says that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are eternally distinct. Now, again, I can't comprehend that, but I can apprehend that. That is definitively what the Bible says, and you've already alluded to that in the prologue to your question. So no question that that's what the Bible teaches. Now, here's the point. When the Bible talks about the essence of God, or what we call ontology, or the nature of God, the Bible is speaking of one. When the Bible deals with persons within the Godhead, it speaks of three. And person has to do with identity formed and completed on the basis of relationships within the Godhead. So there's one what and three who's. And Ed, I don't want to leave you hanging. You probably hear the music in the background, which is alerting to me the fact that I only have 30 seconds left. So if you'll hang on, you can follow up with further questions on this very important subject on the other side of the break. You want to do that?
Sure.
Okay, hang with me. There's going to be a station break for a couple of minutes, and we'll be right back, and we'll tackle this question some more. So if you've got a follow-up question, I want you to have the opportunity to ask that question. We don't deal in shallow, superficial answers. We want to really grapple with the meat of your question. We'll be right back.
As Christian philosopher and mathematician Blaise Pascal so poignantly put it, truth is so obscure in these times and falsehood so established that unless you love the truth, you cannot know it. Our fervent prayer is that you'll become so familiar with truth that when counterfeits loom on the horizon, you'll be able to dispel the darkness instantaneously, with lasting benefits for you personally, as well as those with whom you share your faith. To know, love, and eternalize the truths we need to win the battles we face, order Hank Hanegraaff's transforming message, Truth Under Siege, on audio CD. Call now at 888-7000-274, or you can go online to our secure website at www.equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff headlines focus on the family's The Big Dig nationally simulcast Teen Apologetics Conference on Saturday, August 8th to help your teens handle tough questions about their faith. This powerful one-day simulcast featuring Hank and other top speakers will give your teens everything they need to face their fears, stand up for Jesus, and share their faith with skeptics and seekers with the kind of confidence you'll be proud of. Sign up to be a host church and give students, parents, and youth leaders an exciting opportunity to strengthen their faith. For more details about the Saturday, August 8th National Simulcast, go to www.equip.org. That's equip.org. Hank will be right back after these messages.
Don't all religions lead to God?
What is truth?
Aren't the Bible's views on homosexuality outdated?
What's wrong with Wicca?
Teens question everything. They need real answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff has come out with the Bible Answer Book for students.
Hank took all the Q&As from Bible Answer Book 1 and 2 that are important to students and came up with real answers that make sense to us.
82 questions on topics that are on the minds of students today about God, the Bible, eternity, even social issues are covered, like stem cell research, capital punishment, homosexuality, and many others.
The Bible Answer Book for students is perfect to share with your non-believing friends, those looking for spiritual answers, with new Christians, or for you.
The Bible Answer Book for Students by Hank Hanegraaff. Order your copy. Call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. It's also available online at equip.org.
It's the 21st century and Christianity is still in crisis.
I have equality with God.
Whatever is done on earth, a human must give God permission to do it.
Some of you better go down to that Lexus and Mercedes dealership and just sit down in one of those things with that leather all over it.
Poor folks, get ready to come out of poverty.
Yes.
And when you call in and make that faith promise of $3,000.
Millions are deceived by false teachings and fallacious hopes. But there is tremendous news. Order Hank Hanegraaff's Christianity in Crisis 21st Century and become equipped to reach those lost in this generation of superstar faith teachers. To order Christianity in Crisis 21st Century, call toll-free 888-7000-CRI or go online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Don't forget to inquire about the limited leather edition.
Now, more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed on today's religious movements and scriptural insights needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal.
Our cover story examines the idea of romantic love and ponders its role as the basis for marriage. When Mormon prophet Joseph Smith announced his discovery of the Book of Abraham in 1835, it was heralded as the most important find in biblical studies, older than the Old Testament, and provided the scriptural foundation for the Mormon doctrine of God. Find out why these claims are false. Our Effective Evangelism article provides 10 power-packed arguments for atheists to know that the universe is haunted. Practical Hermeneutics unpacks the question, how was Jesus made sin? And as always, don't miss the popular Ask Hank.
Call CRI and start your subscription today, 888-7000-CRI. You'll also see it online at equip.org.
The Bible Answer Man is here to provide the answers that people are looking for because truth matters. Many listeners and Christian leaders have told us of the importance of these answers, like Christian musician Phil Ehart, founder of the band Kansas and supporter of the Christian Research Institute for nearly 25 years.
The Christian Research Institute, to me, is the gold standard of truth. And that's why I stand with you, and that's why I've always supported you. The Christian Research Institute, you have no peers as far as I'm concerned. And I think as a Christian, wherever you are in your walk right now, there's nothing more important than the truth. And Jesus is the truth. And that's why I would ask for people listening to prayerfully support and financially support. And take that step forward and be on the team and be a part of it as I have for almost 25 years now.
The truth is, it simply takes resources to do the unique job that the Christian Research Institute does every day. So we're asking for your financial and prayerful participation. If you can make a special gift to the Christian Research Institute or join the Bible Answer Man support team, CRI Fellowship, or the President's Council, contact us right now toll-free at 888-7000-274 or go to our secure website at www.equip.org. The great Christian reformers of the Middle Ages, such as John Wycliffe, John Huss, and Martin Luther, each exemplified the transforming power of a testimony tried by fire. There is an eerie relationship between reformers like Huss and the biblical prophet Jeremiah. They both, unlike the false prophets in our midst today, experienced the power of the presence of a living God whose name was to be revered. Be inspired by greatness and be equipped to stand firm for truth when you order Truth Under Siege on audio CD by calling 888-7000-CRI or by going online at www.equip.org. And now, once again, here is the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Unfortunately, during the break, we lost my last caller, Ed, who was asking about the Trinity. But let me just wrap up my discussion with Ed by making a couple of comments with respect to the prologue of his question, which is, how is it possible that Jesus can say, the Father is greater than I? Or how is it possible that Jesus does not know when he is going to come back in judgment, either to judge Jerusalem or coming back in the ultimate sense at the end of time? Well, Jesus in the incarnation, when he came in flesh, voluntarily took on the limitations of humanity. So Jesus in the biblical text at times is speaking from this perspective of his humanity. If he's speaking as God, he knows all things. But if he's speaking from the perspective of his humanity, he has voluntarily limited the prerogatives of divinity. Much more could be said. I've written about this in many different venues, including the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, which, by the way, is available in a personalized form. I'll autograph it to you or a friend for a gift to keep this ministry circling the globe of $100 or more. So keep that in mind. This is a resource that contains answers to questions in a way that you can assimilate. In other words, you can digest. Therefore, it'll become part of who you are, and you can use the answers as opportunities to reach other people. If we're going to reach the world, it's not going to be done through a hired gun. It's going to be because we equip God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ might be built up and strengthened. And that's why we call our website Equip. We're equipping God's people, equip.org. I want to go back to the phone lines. Let's talk to Peter. He's listening on KFAX in Fremont, California. Hi, Peter.
Hi. My question for you, Hank, is do you believe that Jesus is going to come back literally and step foot on this planet in his glorified body one day?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, Hebrews says that Jesus Christ is going to come back a second time. So we have the assurance that Jesus Christ will return again physically. Jesus is.
What reference is that, Hank?
Hebrews. I'd have to look up the exact reference, Hebrews says that Jesus will appear a second time.
Yeah, and I know he appeared in judgment in the clouds in 70 AD, as it were, in reference like to Daniel. I read your book Apocalypse Code. You know, I used to be a pre-tribber, pre-millennial. I've been in the Lord almost 29 years. And then I became a post-toasty, a post-tribulationist. Then I started to read about the preterist viewpoint, partial preterist. I tend to not fall into the, I don't know what your thought is about the resurrection, as it were, as in Corinthians. But, you know, I find it very interesting, again, for me, Hank, and I'm sharing this with my brothers that I meet on a Tuesday about this, and they're kind of taken aback because of what's been espoused for years now. And but at the same time, they're open. But I always reference back to them, even though we can learn more and get our minds illuminated by the Word of God, the Spirit teaching us this truth. The main thing is to keep pressing into Jesus, to get to know Him better, as it were. And so I really appreciate your ministry. It's opened my eyes to a few things here, and that was my main question, because I think in the Apocalypse Code, I don't know if you reference about Jesus Christ literally setting foot again appear one day in his
glorified
body.
Well, I do, and what I point out, and by the way, the passage is Hebrews chapter 9, starting at verse 23. But what I'm pointing out in the Apocalypse Code is this, that Jesus Christ will appear a second time, and when he does, he will put all things to right, which is to say that when Jesus Christ returns, then we will experience resurrection. And Jesus Christ says this, "Do not be amazed, a time is coming when all who are in the grace will come out. Some will rise to live, and some will rise to be eternally condemned." Of course, Daniel said essentially the same thing. So when Jesus Christ comes again, the problem of sin and Satan will be fully and finally resolved. We will receive our resurrected bodies. And I think N.T. Wright is very profound in saying that as a believer, we're not looking for life after death, but life after death. And what he's talking about when he says that, I can relate to with respect to my dad, who died in 1997. Uh-huh. He's experiencing life after death right now. But he's going to experience life after death when the Lord Jesus Christ returns, because then he will receive his resurrected body. The DNA that makes him will be restored.
I got you, Hank. And, you know, I tend to look at it this way. It's a transition when we die in this physical body into the eternal. We're in the eternal state now that Christ is residing within us, within the imperishable seed, as it says in Peter. And I really look at it now as I am in eternity in one respect, like you were saying, life, because of my perspective now. I've been changed because God's implanted word, as it were.
Yeah, but never forget that the Bible makes clear, and you can look at this in various places. The first that comes to mind is Revelation 21, that there will be a time when the old order of things will pass away. Behold, I make all things new. We have not experienced that. I played golf with my son Hank the other day. He shot a 70, two under. I shot a 72. And I can only say the reason he's beating me now is because I'm older. And my muscles have shrunk. My eyesight isn't as good. I can't, don't have his flexibility. I can't hit a ball as far as he does. And that's the human condition. And we are experiencing that and will experience that until the time we die. But when Jesus Christ returns, my DNA is going to flourish to what it would have been if sin had never entered the world. That's when the old order of things pass away and all things become new. And that, my friends, is yet future. This earth still produces thorns and thistles, but then it will not. Want to go back to the phone lines. Let's talk to Brett, listening in Houston, Texas, KKHT. Hi, Brett.
Hi, Hank. Good afternoon. Let me say a couple of things because I know time is running short. First, thanks for this hour every day. It means a lot to me, and I'm sure a lot of Houstonians who are driving around on the freeway. Mm. Second, I look forward to meeting you in North Carolina in November at the Apologetics Conference, and maybe you can mention that again to your listeners. And let me ask you my question.
I will.
When you are trying to introduce practicing Jews to Christ, there is a special sensitivity with them and kind of the classic arguments that they respond with, which is, we already believe in God. We already have the manual. We already have the playbook in the Bible. Could you give me and give us, your listeners, some maybe just a sensitive approach to answering those questions? I think I know the answers, but maybe you can enlighten us with a good, sensitive Christian approach to that issue.
Sure. Well, my good Jewish friend Yuval Ross in Israel always tells me that when Jesus Christ returns, he's going to ask him, is this your second time or just your first time? Because in his view, Jesus has not yet come. So I have to be able to demonstrate to him that Jesus Christ has in fact come, that Messiah has indeed invaded time and space, that he has lived the perfect life that I could never live, and offers me his perfection as an absolutely free gift. I can't earn it. I can't deserve it. I can simply reach out the hand of a beggar and receive the gift of a king. So whether I'm speaking to a Jew or a Greek, whether I'm speaking to a male or a female, it doesn't really matter who I'm speaking to. The truth of the matter is, I have to communicate Jesus Christ as the one who did what I could never do. And I have to communicate that we're all sinners. We have to be willing to repent of our sin and receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord of our life. I wish I could say more. I can't. I'm out of time. I will stay in studio for an extra hour once we go off the air today. Continue taking your calls. If you're hanging on, please be patient. If you're dialing in, here's the number, 888-ASK-HANK. Translation, 888-275-4265. In the meantime, until we speak again, pray for this ministry, and if you can, stand with us financially as well. God bless you all.
Truth is under siege. Hank Hanegraaff has encapsulated the spirit of Truth Under Siege in a new audio CD remembering the lives of the great Christian reformers, lives of men like John Wycliffe, John Huss, and Martin Luther, as well as the biblical prophet Jeremiah, who each exemplified the transforming power of a testimony tried by fire. In Hank Hanegraaff's Truth Under Siege, he reminds us that just as the great reformers and prophets of old were willing to give their utmost for God's highest, not only in the public square, but each and every moment of the day, we too, as followers of Christ, need to realize the paramount importance of redeeming each moment of our lives for the cause of the precious Redeemer. Be inspired to stand for truth and make a difference in your sphere of influence when you hear Hank Hanegraaff's Truth Under Siege, delivered in Los Angeles earlier this year. Order your copy on audio CD for your gift to the ministry of the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. You can also order through the mail when you write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Or when you go online to our secure website anytime at www.equip.org. When you visit equip.org, you can listen to past broadcasts of the Bible Answer Man, order products and materials you hear about on the broadcast, and get expert analysis and reliable research on cults, teachers, and religious movements in our world. It's also a vehicle by which you can contact CRI directly, either with your comment or to give a tax-deductible donation to our ministry. Again, the address is www.equip.org. The Bible Answer Man is a production of the Christian Research Institute.
Some teachers outside the church proclaim we are God.
I'm just curious, where does God come into the whole secret?
Good question.
Yeah, God is all of us.
Other teachers inside churches proclaim that we are God.
If dogs get together, they produce what? If cats get together, they produce what? But if the Godhead gets together, what are they producing?
Well, who is God? Are we God? Everyday people make significant life and death, health and financial decisions based on faulty information about who God is and what He promises. And that is precisely why Hank Hanegraaff has written Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century. Thousands have been helped out of the faith movement by the Christian Research Institute, but many more must be rescued. To get your copy of Hank's Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, call 888-7000-CRI or log on to our secure website at www.equip.org.
And don't forget to ask about the personalized edition.